Honorable members, we are going to get a presentation from MDDA. Whilst the chairperson of MDDA is still organizing herself, giving the minister again will have to lead. Over to you, Minister.
Thank you, Chair. The good part of it is that the chairperson is here herself, and Louis, the board members. So I think we've got the full complement of the accounting authority. That will make matters easier as we progress. But I think I need to applaud the MDDA chair and honorable member for their continued efforts in the advocacy and campaign to make media literacy a priority on its agenda, as well as accelerating the media literacy efforts. I think during your hectic scheduled constituency period, I will urge you to attend one of these campaigns. They are very useful and contributing to the communities at large, because here it's a that they normally have the so-called media literacy and culture of reading summit. That's why in the MDDA, it implements annually to a number of young people at the schools. Then the aim of that campaign is to introduce the culture of reading and the basic media literacy amongst learners to schools, and then to promote the debate and dialogues on media for learners and to encourage them to be media aware and be involved in the producing of their own media. I think this is one project that they have successfully implemented, and that has got a direct impact on the lives of the people. But Jefferson, as always, I'll complain of the funding challenges. I think there is a tremendous demand for the support of this entity, which it requires a funding, and I must say it's underfunded, especially when you have to look at the need for them to support this community media. It's within there, so, but they'll deal with that as they came then. But then there's a lot that has happened, Chairperson, and then like now what makes them to be sustainable? They are forced to enter into memorandum of understanding to deal with this funding requirement. Like now in the interim, they are busy finalizing the memorandum of understanding with the Small Enterprise Development Agency to roll out the enterprise development program across the country. And then also, then I want to also indicate to you with regard to the governance matters, we want to appreciate this committee for making sure that then they give us a full complement of the board. And then also, the other issue that I want to bring to the attention of the members is that now, the agency, since its establishment, has operated for over a decade, and then we have an impact assessment study has been commissioned to reflect and evaluate the extent to which the MDDA is responding to its mandate, the MDDA, the impact also of the MDDA on the funded project, and identifying and sharing the best practices. The agency will share with the committee at that proposed strategic retreat its findings of the study with the members, and then that we propose to do it before the end of this financial year, so that we are able, that will also assist to you in your planning. But thus far, this agency has achieved 71% of its performance indicators for the 2015-16 financial year. And then this translates into 96 out of the 135 performance indicators being achieved. which is a positive outcome. Like the principle will always be to say for those targets that were partially achieved, in future we are not going to report on them. They will be considered as not achieved. And then it poses a challenge to say then there's a need to then make sure that we up so that we deal with all those issues as they raise. The community media TV station is also growing. And then the MDD for the year under review, they've supported four stations, of which one they are still supporting it now. And then also that goes similarly to the community and print media that has grown in the recent years. We've got now more than 200 publishers, a large proportion of which they are publishing in the languages, indigenous language. That's another achievement that we need to look at that. And then also the other one is capacity building. A number of initiatives were implemented, including the awarding of bursaries to community radio stations to enroll at the Radio Vets Academy. That's how MDDA, then the other key issue that you'll all agree with me, we need to acknowledge the role of this community media during the local government elections. Without the support of the MDDA, that could not have happened, but I must also emphasize this issue string budget, but still, they manage, if you change them, they were able to report on local government elections, and they also assisted on the voter registration. Then the rest, I think we'll have to deal with, as the chairperson will present, we'll have to deal with the issue of the staff complement and all the other human resource related challenges. And then also, I think I'll hand over to the chair. Then we'll assist in taking the questions so that we don't take much of your time.
Okay, chairperson, can you take us through your presentation?
Yes.
Thank you very much, Minister.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. Thank you to the committee, and thank you to the Minister. I just want to say that on behalf of the board, who not all of them are here, it's myself and Louise and the executive team, we wish to express our gratitude for the support that was received over the years from the committee and as well as from the Minister. And we often take this opportunity to come and present to Parliament as a constructive engagement and feedback for us to be able to continue to improve our work and ensure that we meet the mandate as stipulated in the Act. And perhaps, Chair, let me start on the area where you had started all in the commented around the constitution of the board. We currently have a board which is about seven members, of which five of them are women. And thank you very much to the committee and the minister for their commitment to gender equality. So MDD is under the leadership of women at the board level, which is really a very good thing for South Africa. And I think it's a commitment to our constitutional principles. We're presenting as well this annual report just for noting for the committee is that the year under review, there was a period where we didn't have a board that was creating, and as such, there were statutory decisions that the board could not execute. So in essence, we needed to stall. But the board members that were there continued to support the management and lead and achieve all the things that the minister has already highlighted. The board is constituted by four committees, audit and risk, which is three of the members of audit and risk are independent members, including the chair of the audit risk, and as well we have the DOC represented in the audit and risk committee. We have the governance committee, we have finance, and we have research and development strategy committee. And part of that committee actually was born out of an engagement with the committee, because the committee had expressed interest in the area of a capacity building strategy for the sector, and as well as areas that are related with media transformation in terms of how we execute that. I must also say that we have a very robust board as a MDDA with diverse skills and expertise. And what he had done when we had a curating board sometime last year, we really looked at what type of a strategic focus that we need to develop as the board. I think that three critical areas that we look at, one of them is to really position MDDA as a knowledge-based organization which supports the sector, but as well as focusing on issues of content development, because we believe that part of the sector's sustainability model is linked to the quality of content that actually the sector communicates to its own immediate constituencies. And in essence, we've actually engraved that, that philosophy is embedded in how we adjudicate our projects. One of the things we look at what is the quality of content and what type of support should we be providing for the sector. For the year under review, we've spent, 72% of our funding on rural projects, and primarily because we have a deep understanding that rural communities have minimal economic activities, and therefore they do require a lot of support from MDDA, and part of that support is to ensure that they continue to elevate authentic stories, reflect on the evolution of their communities, but also ensure that they remain the platform of dialogue and engagement at community level. As I said, we focus our funding on issues of content development, equipment, as well as capacity building. One of the issues that remains a challenge, which the minister highlights, which is going to be my last point before our acting CEO will start the presentation, is the issue of sustainability in the sector. It's something that we truly look forward, Chair, to engage in the strategic planning session of the committee, where we could really reflect collectively around what are the sustainability model that we need to pursue for the sector, and whether, in fact, dependency on government funding is the only instrument to actually ensure that the sector is sustainable. Of course, some of the immediate issues, which is the short-term to medium-term, that we could explore, they're really related with the role of local government in supporting the sector, but as well as the role of GCIS and government departments in actually ensuring that they place their adverts into the sector. And we believe that the social impact study, which we're undertaking, which would really help us to reflect on how our community media projects are really contributing in changing the material conditions on the ground of the communities, will help us to better give us a lot of insights, one from a sustainability perspective, but as well as when we talk about MDDA review process, what is it that MDDA needs to look at, but as well as the nature of our community in modern South Africa. In 2016, communities, for example, in other areas are no longer the same, and we will soon, for example, be receiving applications where you find that there are also people who are speaking Portuguese in the communities, and it means that your old traditional communities have changed. They are no longer the same. We've seen that, for example, with Diepsloot, where Diepsloot is such a huge, diverse community, and there are people who are speaking Portuguese, and it means that we can then stick to the traditional definition of communities in that is defined in academia. And perhaps the last point, just to say that we have actually in conversation with Brand SA on the memorandum of understanding on their nation branding, nation brand building, because we had believed that we are a natural partner, because part of the nation building brand needs to take a bottom-up approach where they work with our print organization and as well as a community media. And I think after today's even presentation, I think we'll actually take up further that conversation. I will now hand over to our acting CEO, who will then take the committee through.
Thank you, Chairperson. Good morning,
but also we forgot to introduce ourselves, starting from the chair. You can introduce the chair and then yourself.
Thank you, Chairperson. The chair of the MDDA is Ms. Phelisa Nkomo, and I am Thembelihle Sibeko, the acting CEO for the Media Development and Diversity Agency. Thank you, Chair. The Honorable Minister and the Chair have just summarized the whole contents of the presentation. I'm just going to be taking you through as a point of departure on the year under review, highlighting the achievements and speaking to the challenges experienced. And I'm also going to present the structure and the organogram of the MDDA, challenges experienced, as well as they express the achieved areas in terms of our inputs. During the year under review, the MDDA attained 71% of its performance indicators, and those translate to 96 activities approved in terms of the of its annual targets. And of those, we supported about we funded 26 community broadcast projects. We supported 24 print and digital projects. Of the 24, the 10 were startups and 14 for strengthening. And we also had 12 of the community radio stations dominated by youth, and 7 of print also led by youth. Most projects are weighed heavily to the rural communities and the disadvantaged communities of our country. MDDA has impacted on social cohesion, which is also one of the outcomes 14 objectives. In the development of a social engagement strategy based on the shared broadcast platforms between the community media and them, there were two programs nationally, which one was in Mamelodi, Isteras, and the other one in Gugulethu and Khayelitsha. With those programs, I think we have acknowledged as a country that there were challenges around the issues of spectrum, and there was still a need for the establishment of community radio stations in some of the communities. And as MDDA, we took an initiative guided by the department in terms of how do we make ensure that there's integration in those communities. There's been a lot of progress, and Mamelodi Isteras project was launched. Currently, we are still in the process of engaging the Gugulethu and Khayelitsha and ensuring that there's shared platform between those communities. However, we are also in the process of conducting the research around the Gugulethu and Khayelitsha, because it has also reached our attention that as MDDA, we cannot be the driver, the implementers, and therefore we felt there was a need to conduct some situational analysis and ensure that whilst we are responding and developing the Gugulethu Khayelitsha program, but the surrounding communities as well are not left out in the process. In 2015-16, MDDA supported the minister throughout the rollout of the digital rollout program, and both by sensitizing the communities and of the benefits and the implications of the switchover. I think the objective was that we need to ensure that the process becomes seamless. And MDDA has established different and relevant partnerships to respond to the issues of content development, audio streaming, online platforms, capacity building, I think, and also in all our programs, we also ensure that we support women and youth in the are given the privilege. Of the projects that we've supported, I must say that there are no projects that are owned by the disabled people. But however, in terms of our analysis, we've also identified that a significant number of the community of that community participates in the board members. Over the during the period under review, the MDDA has also benefited about 100 people in its learning forum process and which addresses the issues in relation to content development specifically. And also, whilst we understand and appreciate the fact that the sector on its own is challenged by the issues of sustainability, but we go to we invest extensively in terms of ensuring that there's capacity building and capacitating individuals and projects with skills that are necessary and might assist in them attaining the sustainability. And also, as MDDA, we have realized that sustainability for the community media sector has to be viewed in the light that we appreciate the institutional sustainability, financial sustainability, but also key are the issues of community participation and issues of ownership and control. We have also entered into partnership with SASTA, which is an institution, South Africa Agency for Science and Technology. The purpose of this relationship is to ensure that we support and train the community media in engaging with communities reporting on science issues and technology using the indigenous language. I think this is one of the few interesting projects wherein, as MDDA, it's also some form of literacy and education. The MDDA also entered into partnership with CEDA to roll out an enterprise development program using the MDDA's networks nationally. I think the minister already mentioned that, but I feel it is important that I emphasize this partnership because we envisage the impact of MDDA from its existence to date, it is important that we also enhance and appreciate that through other state-owned and other departments, we can ensure that media is beyond just what is currently perceived of. We supported the National Community Radio Forum through its research and study into sustainability challenges facing the community radio station. We embarked on reviewing the annual media awards again. Here, I think over the past years, 10 years, MDDA has been holding the Community Media Awards in conjunction with ISANLAM, and it has come to an MDDA's attention that we needed to review based on the feedback that we received from our communities and our direct beneficiaries. And currently, there's a research conducted which is aimed at getting the sense of what might be relevant for the community media sector going forward. We are currently undertaking the impact assessment study. Of this study, we anticipate that it's going to provide us with the analysis and the results of how do we shape MDDA going forward. The chair has mentioned that community maybe need to be redefined. If you compare community definition during the MDDA's inception over 12 years ago, obviously currently we have a diverse background and there's a lot of immigration and emigration, if I may put it that way, and obviously our communities are even just at the local level, there's a lot of interaction that as we define or come up with programs that are going to be responsive to those, we appreciate that. And the MDDA has supported projects significantly towards the local government elections to ensure that they remain relevant and the issues of communities are elevated and the voice of the people of on the ground is heard. We've also supported the Uhuru Press to develop the interactive website for women participation. I think there's an appreciation that there's a lot around women development and women writers in our country, which as MDDA we felt it also feels within our space to support. I'm just going to be providing the financial summary for now. For the period under review, we received an unqualified audit on the financial statement approved by the MDDA board. Spending of MDDA for the fin year was well within the regulated percentage of allocation. MDDA experience underspending due to delayed disbursement resulting from late project reporting. I think I need to emphasize or explain this point so that it's clear to all. It is not underspending in a sense that there were funds which were just overlying in our accounts, but it refers to the fact that as MDDA, when we approve projects for support, we disperse those funds in tranches. And once the project has been approved, it means those funds have been committed to that particular beneficiary. And as a result, because of compliance and monitoring processes, there's reports that are expected from the project before the second tranche may be released. And there are conditions linked to each payment, and the situation varies from one project to another. For an example, if a project during the period of first and second tranche, it was active, it complied to the statutory obligations of this country, they accounted for tax and so forth, we are able to release the same the amounts. But if a project is affected in a sense that they are unable to comply, we ensure that they must comply first before we can release another tranche. However, I must also say that as MDDA, we are a developmental organization, and by so saying, I mean that we do not write back or write off projects by virtue of a non-compliance, which can be corrected either by intervention from our part in capacitating our communities. So we take treat every situation on its merit, but voluntarily non-compliance wherein there's fraud identified, again, I must say that we have a grant funding agreement that governs the relationship between us and the projects we are supporting. And where there's every situation is treated on its merit, as I indicated, but where it's deserving, yes, we do end our support. And if it comes to Repush, where there was a voluntarily act to be quite, just to give an example, wherein we would have transferred funds to the project on the basis that they applied to MDDA and their application was entertained on the basis of what they presented. Assessments would have been done and the needs of that particular committee would have been taken into account. And then if it happens that the station manager decides that the MDDA deposits the fund and tomorrow there's whole funds were taken out of that account. Obviously, as MDDA, we take those significantly and we follow the ambits of our agreement in terms of the provisions of compliance and non-compliance. I must indicate that also MDDA suffered a lot over the financial year under review due to the withdrawal of funding from EPDMSA. It meant we could not be able to support some of our print projects. We have two programs under MDDA. One would be it's the admin, and the other is the grant funding, which would include non-financial support as well. Under the admin, we have six sub-programs, which are to provide the overall management and support of the MDDA, and those would include your human resources, your legal and regulations affairs, the financial admin and auxiliary, risk management and internal audit, information management and communication and stakeholder engagement. Under the program two, which is grant funding and non-financial support, we have the objective of this program is to provide support to the media and development and diversity programs. Under that sub-program, we have four sub-programs, including the community broadcast media, print and digital media, research and training, development, capacity building, as well as monitoring and evaluation. Under the human resources, I think the chair has touched on the aspect that over the financial year, the MDDA did not have a core rating board for a period up to the mid of the second quarter. And also Following that, I think the MDDA has a correcting board since June 2015. And from there, based on the fact that the minister has also indicated the need to review the act of the MDDA, it calls for the MDDA to ensure that during its strategic planning, we need to realign ourselves and remain relevant in terms of supporting the department. And during the period under review, we reviewed the organogram of the organization. We did skills audit. We also embarked on profiling of the positions, and this might have contributed to the delay in terms of filling of the position. But also, I must indicate that we didn't have a sufficient budget at the time to implement our organogram as planned. Under the human resources, we had a labor matter which is pending from 2012, wherein the MDDA was taken to the CCMA, and the commissioners ruled in favor of the MDDA, but the applicant escalated the matter to the labor court. So I think the position was identified as a management position and was supposed to be filled, we could not go on with that appointment until there's a conclusive report from the labor court to say the MDDA we're free to continue implementing our organogram. We embarked in a recruitment process, and I must indicate currently there's a paradigm shift from the time during the period of reporting to date. I think currently we are at 72% positions filled in the HR space. Obviously, the few of that, over 30% of that, do not fall under the reported period. Under the governance, during the period under review, the board, I've indicated that the board did not correct. I think also that was resolved. I'm just going to go through the audit space or the findings during the period under review. Whilst we had the unqualified audit, key to the AG's finding, a test was performed to determine the smartness of the targets and the objectives of the MDDA. And I want to give this committee some sense of comfort that currently that has been reviewed and there's a progress around it. I think that should bring me to the end of the presentation, and we are committed to development, and we are embarking much in terms of identifying and sharing of the best practice within the organization. And the minister has indicated the intention to review the MDDA Act and its associated regulations. The MDDA is committed to supporting the initiatives and to ensure that the MDDA accelerates its impact on the media transformation. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. your presentation, Councillor Speed, in terms of managing your pages or your slides. But at least the speaking on it was helpful. Just that there was a confusion of pages for me. But I think your presentation was just on issues. Members, that's the presentation. And maybe before that, acting CEO, you are saying is position filled amount to 72%. Does that mean the CEO is there? You are acting, and where is the CEO? And if there are other more areas where there is acting, when do you envisage moving out of Hollywood? That's quite important. And sometimes if there are litigations, it's good to hear where are we and all of those things. Because those are the things that disorganizes the organization, your litigations and all of that, but also the acting positions. I was waiting for you, members. I've raised mine. Let me start with Honorable Tracken, and then I'll come that way.
Thank you, Chairperson, and thank you for the presentation. My point is related to people with disabilities. I know that you do have a person with a disability on the board, but I'm just wondering, I want to know why no projects involve people with disabilities. Can you just explain to me why for the period under review? Then I'm trying to find my pages here in the annual report. From the annual report on page 75, I see at the bottom there are a couple of names that indicate never attended board meetings. Can you just explain to us why that is? And then maybe I missed it, but your percentage of staff with disabilities. Can you just tell me, because in your annual report, the HR section, I can't pick up anything that relates to people with disabilities, and also which categories of jobs they are in, of the work that they are in. And then another concern is I see the vacancies. I'm not sure if that's the total. 16 vacant positions out of, I counted 22, that's page 66. So I'm just curious why so many vacant positions in that department or in your department. I think that's it, Chair. Thank you.
Chair, thank you for the presentation. I just want to, my colleague next to me, I can just confirm with her that it is indeed only 50% of the, there's a vacancy rate of 50%, and it's actually against public service regulations, which has a permissible threshold of 10%. Last year there was only 16 people appointed. This year there's also only 16 people appointed. And part of the problem for me is that there's no executive management, and the indicator that the MDDA has achieved 71% of its performance indicators, 96 out of 135. In the previous year, they achieved 56%, but then there was much more performance indicators, 84 out of 149. So it's, it seems it can be visited or it can be looked at it from two sides. It can also be that the standards has been lowered because of the lack of personnel, the personnel HR component. The grant is also underspent, and that's also part of this problem, I think. And then it's on page of the presentation, on page 34, there's an indicator that says that these financial services, I presume this is consultants. My problem that I have with the financial, I'm not sure, you can just confirm that with me. In spite of the cost on consultants, and it's also reflecting, there's something that's also not clear for me on in reflecting on the irregular expenditure. I'm not sure if this is the consultant is part of the irregular expenditure, and I want to know if the let me just put this that there is still a very high irregular amount of irregular expenditure. And then it explains on page 36, it says this was mainly attributed to the position being vacant for a significant period in the financial year. I'm not sure what that means. If someone can just explain that to me, if there's a, why was this not prevented then? What position is it? And was it advertised when and where? Was there any interviews? And then also... there's a total of, let me just, when you look at the wasteful expenditure, is that also not a function that the financial services was used for? And also with regards to the employment, I see that there's no... colored and Indian representation in the staff component. If you can just also clarify that for me. Then I also have a question with regards to MDDA funded research on the sustainability on, of the community radio sector to give guidance to the NCRF in developing focus programs to support the sector. Where can we obtain this research? And then also executive leadership was positioned in acting capacity. As the chair mentioned, can you please indicate what positions are these and how long have they been vacant and filled with acting personnel? There's also a referral on page 34 that I need explanation on. The company secretarial, the amount that was put out there for minute taking and companies service, secretarial services. Is the secretary not part of the personnel component, and why is there an extra amount put out for that, for this? Then I have a question on the funding also. There's a, the horizon, there's referred to the horizon, and I see that there's specific three or four entities that or companies that receive funding grants, and I want to just clarify something. Some of these companies, like the Horizon in Cape Town or Northern Cape, they were granted over 600,000 in 2013. What happened in between? Why now again the funding? If the monitoring process can be explained. Also, I want to know if I see in the projects approved, there's some of the companies like Guluva, Comic Magazine, Treasure Magazine, and also Fabulous, that has been funded for three times plus in a row. And I want to find out specifically these three that I mentioned, which of them have received grants this year, because when I visited the oversight earlier in the year, two of the three were not even existing anymore. So I want to know, it's on the project approved on the website, it shows that they also receive, or they're still part of the projects being, I just want to find out if they did receive funding for this book year also. I think I will leave you with that. Thank you.
Book. That's the book of questions, eh? Thank you very much, Honorable Van Dijk, Honorable Van Dam.
Thanks, Chair. Honorable Van Dijk has already mentioned the issue of wasteful and fruitless expenditure. In fact, the AG notes that effective steps were not taken to prevent not only fruitless and wasteful expenditure, but also irregular expenditure. Why were those steps not taken? It's in the annual report. So why were the steps not taken to make sure that public money is firstly not wasted and that it is spent properly according to the legislation that relates to public expenditure? And then what is the story with Mr. Mthide? Is he still on the board? Thank you.
Maybe let me start by commending MDDA chair for the role they played during the elections with the challenge of underfunding that has just been, that keeps on coming from time to time. At least our people were afforded the opportunity to participate in the elections in that regard. But Chair, just to reiterate what we have been saying since last week, that I think we definitely need that session that we proposed with the Treasurer to deal with the issue of underfunding with regard to the departments and the entities that report to the department as such. It's a really serious issue that needs urgent attention. So all I'm saying, we definitely need to find a way to make it a priority so that we're able to deal with this particular issue. I'm very passionate about community radio stations, HR. And part of what we've always been talking about is the support that these community radio stations are supposed to be getting, particularly from municipalities, government departments, and entities. And last week, I think we as well, out of the presentation by the department, we raised an issue of compliance by departments, entities, and the like in relation to the 30% ad spend by department. That the rest we need to be provided with that report, as we have requested, so that at our level we are then able to follow up on municipalities, government department and entities that continue to do certain things without giving, providing the necessary support to community radio stations. But one specific issue relates to the moratorium on licenses. We might need to be clarified on where is this particular issue, because the report says over, I don't remember how many applications did you receive for this financial year. So I'm saying we need to be clarified on where is that particular issue now in terms of the moratorium. But equally, it's also a concern for the underspending that was caused by, the report says, some of the grantees reported late. That led to the challenge of underfunding as reported. It's a very serious issue as well that need to be addressed with the entities, the grantees' concerned. I'm happy to share with the report which says of the 18 projects that the MDD has conducted, about 18 of them or so are in rural areas, which is a very good story to tell, right? As compared to the 5 which are in the urban areas. The last week while we were getting a presentation from the AG, there was an issue around targets, some of the targets which are not refined or smart, which lead to the AG not being able to provide the necessary an opinion in relation to the operation of our entities. And I'm interested in knowing at the level of the MDTA to what extent is this issue affecting us. I remember the AG was saying they have a system through which they are then able to say to the entities, the departments, we think some of these targets need to be refined somehow, and entities, departments, some of them end up not complying, which leads to us not being finding ourselves in a situation where we are found wanting in the process of auditing. So I just want to clarify, Chair, to what extent did this particular issue affecting the MDDA as such? I think let me pause for now, but I'm seriously worried about municipalities and government departments that continue to advertise in this national media without necessarily giving the necessary support to community radio stations. So with that kind of a report that we have indicated last week that we need it as a matter of agency, we'll then be able to track as a matter of agency to what extent can we intervene at our level to correct this particular challenge. Thank you.
Not much.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, MDDA, for the presentation. Chair, I won't repeat questions. My concern is around the court case of Julia Mzigwa. I need more clarity about that case because I read here that the court, the judgment was in favor of MDDA. Then we need more because there's the amount here in front of me of which I'm not clear about that amount, whether is the claim of Julia Mzigwa. Secondly, Chair, let me applaud my hands and say to the minister, thank you very much to visited Ikukuletu in a short of period of 2 months, May and June 2015. When the society raised the issue of the radio in Gugulethu, without your visit, Minister, the people of Gugulethu were not aware where they must go or where they must go to voice their voice around the Gugulethu radio station. But because of your heart to visit Ikukuletu, they have that opportunity to raise their benefits of their own government. Now, I will just, you know, though I hear the report from MDDA, from the chairperson, but I will need more clarity or the progress of that radio station currently. How far is there any difficulties of putting together radios more nearly? Because I know you complain about the frequencies, the shortages of the frequencies in MDDA. But I will need maybe the progress. I want to know about the progress of. Thirdly, Chair, I would also need a clarity or the small report from MTTA around the radio prison radio. What is the program of those radio prisons? And what is the
and what is the really programs that are supporting to give learnership to those who are still in the prison. I will come with other because I'm stuck in this, something that is irritating me. Sorry, Chair. Maybe I will come again because I need a further question around this issue of the prison rate.
Thank you, Chairperson. I would like to join the previous colleagues in acknowledging and appreciating the presentation. I'm partly covered by my previous colleagues, except for the issue of the grant recipients, especially like your community radio stations. You are mentioning that there's been problems in the past with complying to the project reporting, and that hindered some community or grant recipients from receiving funding again in the financial years after that. So in this instance, I want to know, did you put mechanisms in place, because I know that we've raised it to you in previous engagements, did you put mechanisms in place to address this issue in order to ensure that they are indeed sustainable, they are complying with what needs to be complied in terms of the reporting? I have a big concern in terms of the consultancy rate, and you've elaborated on where and how and what you've spent, but I'm still having a concern, especially with regards to, in some instances, it's not relating to specialized services like your interpretation and your company secretary. Can you please give us some indication what's happening there? In terms of your community upliftment and development, in terms of your VITS Radio Academy and other training programs, can you give us some insight in terms of who are the people that you've used in terms of were eligible for training opportunity? Was it in-house upliftment, or did you take ordinary community members? And where are those people who finished their training, if it's been finished? Are you planning to absorb them or place them in other areas, or what's happening to those people? Because it won't help if we equip people with the necessary skills and through training initiatives, and we can't help them to find sustainable jobs after that. Then I want to know if you're having a monitoring tool to establish that the projects that you are supporting is indeed successful. Yet again, it has been mentioned in terms of the employment equity, but I want to re-emphasize that it's important as government entities and departments that we comply to the employment equity legislation, and especially take the national demographics into consideration. So when looking at your current state of affairs, can you please give us some indication what's happening there? Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson. I really want to appreciate the report from the MTDA. Chair, I would want to speak on the human resource side, where it has been reported it is now a public knowledge that sometime in April, the MTDA advertised 16 vacancies. How many of those have been filled? I'm raising these questions because of the report that has just been before us by the Chairperson, Honorable Chair. And the one that worries you most, Chairperson, is a leaderless board insofar as CEO is concerned. Can we give a convincing report, given the fact that we know by now that there was a withdrawal of the offer, and if it can be taken through, what's there now is the development. Chair, like my colleague in your reporting page 8, by reporting on the issues of the revised monitoring and evaluation system to enable it to monitor the advertising expenditure of municipalities, contribution towards the sustainable of the sector, quite good. However, the question keeps on coming back to say, how best, because Minister, where I'm seated, I'm convinced there are many platforms that are existing legally so to interact with other departments and within government itself. I'm very worried. This has been raised by my colleagues that we still sit with a situation where local radio stations are not being used in a meaningful way by local authorities in particular. Because in my understanding, where there's not going to be water, those municipalities do take an advantage of using those local radio stations to tell its constituency on the developments, whether they are negative or positive. And they can't tell, for instance, I'm from the Eastern Cape. Chris Hani can't tell the Youth Dispatch, or Mshobo Wenene might be covering a lot, but there are areas where Mshobo Wenene cannot get in. But there's a Lukanji radio station that can cover the actual issues of the local, of that local authority. I'm very worried on this one, because it keeps on coming and we don't seem to be having an immediate answer, whereas there are existing platforms already that we can take advantage of. Chair, again, the issue of the delayed disinvestment. Chair, without having to repeat ourselves, I think we need to penalize you guys in this one. Because you are the people who are supposed to have put systems in place. You said earlier on you are in developmental kind of. If you are a real developmental, you need to go back to go and make sure that you hold the people that you are funding by hand. So that come the day of having to account, they account in time so that they are able to, you are able to further develop them by giving them more. So I want to hear more on what exactly are you doing in making sure that you empower those entities, small entities that you are dealing with insofar as finances are concerned, so that it doesn't come back and haunt you, because for now, because it's rare that they will come and account before the committee, but you will. So it comes back to you, but it also talk negative about from the AG's office about yourself. I don't think, Chair, this is what you would want to see going forward. And the very last one, your slide 8, the last bulletin, very good. You are talking about how you are being funded, but you speak about the print sector. I'm not sure what message are you, what do you want to send here. Can you be very clear to say what role is the print sector playing insofar as this matter is concerned? Because I know everybody else is legally bound to contribute. So what is the issue with the media sector? Please bear with me. I'm new in the committee, so that I can get more. So that if there's a need for the intervention of the chair and everybody else, minister, we can do that, because the print media is playing a role in the country, whether negative or positive. Therefore, it needs to have a situation where it does contribute into the public purse, because they are the people who are really getting more than anybody else insofar as their role is concerned. So, Chairperson, those are my questions for now. But thank you very much for... But the VETS Radio Academy, Chair, because VETS, unfortunately, is in a very affluent area. So can you talk more to say how does... I would want to suspect that you are dealing with youth here more than anything else. Can you confirm that? Because you will find rural. But if what the Honourable Member has just asked, whether those trained people, how do you utilize them going forward? Thank you very much, Honourable Chairperson.
Thank you, Chair. My own comments are to the importance of the department in as far as building a
stable, peaceful, harmonious society. A society that is informed. The fact that there's a relationship between the degree of societal clarity and stability articulates the centrality of this unit or this department, Minister. And I think the way we are funding it, I don't think we attach weight to its importance. I was just looking at the preamble that says non-racial, non-sexist, democratic, united, peaceful. At the end, it says prosperous. Because in other words, our forebears were very clear. We must be peaceful. We must be united. We must be democratic. And that unity finds meaning in the gender harmony. It finds meaning in the racial harmony. Because when all those things are not properly sorted, prosperity is under threat. So a prospering nation is an informed nation. For it to be united, it must be informed about the importance of unity. I'm one of those who have got who is very controversial. I don't believe that racism in South Africa will be ended by an act. I don't believe that. An act that will make us non-racial. But I believe an environment of communication that helps us understand one another, that makes sure that a Xhosa, a Zulu, a Sotho, the fact that you are a Zulu does not disable you from communicating with what is from understanding what is happening in your country because of your language or because of your location and all those kind of things. We need a system that opens all opportunities to everybody. And this department, in my view, has got capability to turn rural towns into vibrant economies. Because Ngcobo, where I was born more than 60 years ago. I'm telling people my age now. I'm trying to imagine if you had a local radio advertising Boxer and a little initiative in a particular corner. There are many initiatives in these rural towns, which if our people would know, the business would benefit. And also they would know the opportunities that are in that rural town. I'm saying there is a relationship, Minister, between stable nations and the degree of their clarity and the degree of how informed they are. In the sea of poverty and lack of clarity, the king is materialism and the agents of darkness. They triumph because they take advantage of the lack of information of the many amongst us. So I'm saying I would propose that maybe as committee together with yourself, we make a case for this committee. But my attitude is that if your vision is articulated in the manner it is articulated, it doesn't sell the department. To say access, ownership, and so on, that's fine. Those are the tools. Those are forms of interventions. But there's a particular society you want. If your vision articulates the society you want to see, it is easy to sell that to the funders who are the politicians and everybody else. And even private sector. Private sector, in my view, wants a sustainable communities which interact peacefully and prosperously. And if this vision is properly sold and strategies are properly proposed, it's not only government that can contribute in this, because everyone is a beneficiary. Even an investor is a beneficiary. All I'm saying is that we have a case to get more resources, but the business case must be articulated by yourselves for this department. And the other issue I wanted to raise was, I'm curious in these local radio stations that when you say you intervene and assist, what form of assistance do you give? Because at particular instances, in my previous job, we would have had a situation where a local radio station is struggling to cover a huge event because there are less adverts, and the governance unit is actually stopping them from getting funds because from giving, refusing to advertise because they don't meet particular requirements. How do we make sure that we create conditions where these up-and-coming entrepreneurs do access this space? Because where I come from, I know how popular Kasi FM is. I know how popular EK FM is. I can articulate all of them. If you wanted to sell city things, you go to those. They are in touch with them. But capacity, resources, infrastructure, IT and whatever. Of course, I do not believe, Minister, putting people on there. I believe in creating conditions that unleash the potential of entrepreneurs, because I was trained the other day, the difference between categorizing entrepreneurs, say, a true entrepreneur is a predator on opportunities. There are those who are doing business so that they can buy groceries. They say those are there for a particular period in business. They are leaving. So what I want us to catch all those who are entrepreneurs in this space but who lack what you call resources. Because communication is the most important discipline in keeping societies together. And when I got exposed to this department, I didn't know that there's such an important department. I just saw this big MDDA. I thought, what is this thing? Now when I realized what is the objective and whatever, and I'm saying, can we work together and actually make sure that that diverse, you said it's diverse, access, and so on, that we can work together and pull in the private sector. But my proposal is that, can we make a different case? Well, remember I said, Minister, in the previous meeting that your vision cannot be your activity. You can't say in 30 years' time, this is the vision, which is about what you are going to do. A vision is what you want to bring about at a particular point in time, which doesn't exist at this point in time. So if we can make a better case, and some of us, we can be together with the chair and the whip and everybody else, I think all parties, we can be your evangelists in making a case, because this is key for our country. In particular today, you look at these students. They have got a noble case. But look how they mess up their case. You hear there's already complaint about, I don't know how true that is, there's domination by males in this movement. There's also an uneducated attitude to people of gay, people of lesbians and so on. I mean, when such basic information are well articulated and people have got access, when they get involved in those struggles, that knowledge is an ABC in their life. That's the point I'm trying to make about the importance of information. Right. So let's make a better business case.
Thank you. Honorable Kalako.
Chair, just colleagues have covered many of the questions. Just one question, Minister. The MDDA Act is almost 14 years now, or over, or older than that. I think it's the department and the ministry will need to look at aligning it with the developments now, so that it can empower the MDDA, both the board and the MDDA, to have some tools also of generating something for themselves, and of being able to address other issues around community media. Because I'm sure they must be constrained by the outdatedness of some of the sections there when you deal with them. To me, that was the area which needs your leadership for them to assist them. Thank you.
Thank you very much, members. Now we're going to... Did you speak, Honorable Seth? Did you? No, because we want them to respond. And then we'll say if your question is not responded to. But what I want to add, I think AG will remember promise. Well, remember that my issue, even if it's audit, my issue is not about only how well you manage your finances. It's about also the impact, and I think Honorable Kungbele is talking about that, the impact on what we are doing as a department. Yes, we can have a clean audit and all of that, yet you don't deliver services. And I think at some stage, I don't know how can that be done, as you audit finances, you need to go beyond that and say, yes, it's clean, but has this department performed? Because we want that to say to the people of, we have been talking about Ngobo and talking about all these things. People from Tanzania, because it's where I come from. Is there any impact on what MDDA is doing? There is Tanzania FM there, and all of that. So is everything else in the country. Do we have this impact? Because, believe you me, as he was saying, Honorable Kungbele, this is a critical one, because it talks communication with our people in every corner of the country. So if at some stage we deal with that, Honourable Tseti, I want you to raise a question. Nyoba.
I appreciate Chair.
You appreciate the Nyoba that I'm giving you.
Yeah, I appreciate the opportunity. It's just one last issue that I missed earlier while I was making my point. There was a slide where you were outlining the project that you have conducted, community radio, TV, and the like. Community radio, yeah, print and TV. And I would have appreciated if there was an indication on the type of assistance that you have provided, as well as the amount involved. So if that was reflected, that would have been very nice. And I must as well indicate that I appreciate that at least my community radio, Makado FM, is featuring here, because I've always been complaining about them as well. So all I'm saying is that it would have been very nice if there was an indication of the kind of assistance that has been provided to with regard to the project at Outlight and the amounts involved. Thank you.
Okay. No, it's fine. We can mention all these things of Mdanzane and Makado, but we represent South Africans here. This question of where you come from, we come from Africa. Therefore, we are representing the whole of South Africa. But then it was a matter of emphasis, because those are the areas that are existing. Minister?
If members check from page 33 of the annual report, I hope you have the copy of the hard copy up to page 49, in fact. It's talking about all these community radios that honorable members are raising and the status. I think what you need to do when you go to those villages at Ngawo and Mdanzane, you just go and check these things that you are referring to. I was worried that honorable said all the same because the FM don't have infrastructure. But at least it didn't rain that. I've seen it during my own oversight when I visited the station. Yeah, but then that's the way we see it, to say then always we like to, we don't want to lobby the committee. I'm glad that you're raising it, that you also make follow-up as a committee with National Treasury on how this portfolio is funded. Really, it's a challenge. And you have put it rightfully, Honorable Gungungabwele. That's why you see most of the things that are happening. Only the elite, that the few, because we must face reality. Our people don't have access to social media, the majority. More so, even access to a cell phone from a village where I come from. I struggle, that's why I'm forced to have 3 SIM cards. Because whenever I'm there, then Vodacom, I cannot have, it's a reality. And then it's going to take time for people to have access to this. Then that's why then we need solely. And when we establish the issue of community media, remember it's us as the governing party who introduced the system. We understood the importance. That's why then the issue of funding of these entities cannot be underestimated. It has to be. We have to fund them. The beauty about it, it's language again. You see, you are able to reach everybody because majority in terms of the ICASA requirement, they must speak the language of the people. That's another issue that even when you check in terms of our government documents, majority of them are not translated. Because also at GCIS, the beauty about it is that there are those critical programs that you are able to link from GCIS with all community radio stations. We're able to give them content. And that get broadcasted in the languages, then at least you have an informed citizenry. That's why then we need to, this committee, I think, without it being lobbying, I think you see the importance to say, and this is the most underfunded ministry. And then even when you check the other one, somebody the other day showed you that our budget is even lesser than the budget of a direct rate in the department. That's a harsh reality. And then the issue of the licensing of the broadcasting licenses is the mandate of ICASA, not the MDDA. At least ICASA, what MDDA was trying to do here was just to clarify the issue of the moratorium, which then is really the lack of the spectrum. And then, Honorable Kalako, yes, this act was enacted in 2002. And then the MDDA started operating in 2004. That's why 2014 we're celebrating the 10th anniversary of the MDDA. But in terms of the prioritization, the problem that we're seated with now currently at SABC, remember we brought that bill, we wanted to deal with the process of the removal and whatever. So cabinet allows us to only prioritize 2 legislations. And then having inherited the FPB, remember they had to comply to the Constitutional Court judgment some of 2004. That's why we felt to say, let's first sort the SABC bill and also the FPB. They're requiring to present it. But we have already indicated, because when I reported earlier, they've done a study, the one that I said, the social impact that I said we'll have to share with it, because that social impact report addresses all these issues that you are raising on the issue, to say the development now 14 years down the line since the enactment of the bill. It's, I think that will also assist us when we do deal with the amendment, so that we don't focus on one thing, we deal with the amendment holistically. And then also then the issue that I wanted to also raise is this issue of the, you know, the act, why it needs to be amended. When it comes to the broadcasters, they're regulated by ICASA, and they're supposed to contribute a 0.2% of their turnover to fund the MDDA. But when that money is given, it can't fund print media. It only funds the broadcasting sector. Then so we're saying then, we're sitting with the situation here now is 2 years. Remember the print media used to fund, and then they withdraw, they said they want to see the government's transformation agenda. But there are bigger politics than that, based on the fact that you remember when print media thrives, especially community one, then it becomes a competition to the mainstream media. That's the reality that we need to deal with. Those, they don't say that, they will tell you they still want to see what is the government. So the MDDA should be able then to give provision so that it gets legislated that also print media must support this. This many mainstream media must be able to support a community media. And then the other issue that we need to deal with is the governance of these community media projects. Because the issue that we're raising, Honorable Gunguvela, to say when some board members are busy, you remember, there are board members that get into this community media, they're there for life. There are instances where it becomes a family and relatives and friends are best. Then you tend not to focus on the governance aspect, the issue of the requirements, because the issue of compliance is a problem. In other instances, I know when we do the oversight in Kimberley, the other community radio was telling us they've not been paid by the government of the government there of Northern Cape an amount over 400,000, based on the fact that they can't produce a tax clearance certificate. It deals with their governance matters to say then you're seated with the PFMA. That makes the requirements that before payments are made for that department in the Treasury Department in the Northern Cape, for it not to be found wanting by the AG, they need to comply. So these are some of the things that we said in terms of our structure. We need to also deal with that. With the little money that we have, we're trying to make sure through the MDDA so that time and again we try to then workshop these board members to say even when it's time for them to leave, because the act prescribed, the ICASA license condition prescribed, every year there must be an annual general meeting. That's straightforward compliance. In other cases, they do not get complied with. Otherwise, also the board themselves, some people are accused of mismanaging the money that comes to them, because you go to a station, I've witnessed it, I was sitting in an operation center in a province during the elections. There were these poor kids who are coming from the community media. You remember you stayed there for 4 nights. They will sit there in the chair, day one up to day four. They can't even go and sleep to the hotel. Isn't that these are ordinary presenters? They bosses, they couldn't even book them accommodation. These are some of the realities you said that you find. The management are fine. But these people who are doing the actual work, they get paid peanuts. You meet it on a regular basis. That's why this is another area that needs to be also regulated, that you deal with that. And then the other issue then is on self-sustainability of the project themselves. Because if you check, as Honorable Kalok was saying, there's been a lot of funding. That's why we said now we took a decision to say, instead of us then funding new projects, because you fund them, then they're not self-sustainable. Can we focus on where we've invested infrastructure so that we first deal with the sustainability aspect of the available projects, so that then when you fund moving forward. So these are the issues that also we need to deal with. And then also the issue of the sector itself, that it has to be transformed. I think it's critical, at least we've got the blessing of the community, that we need to start to run with this project of transforming this industry. Yeah, I think the rest of the chair will deal with, the mess.
Thank you so much, Minister. I mean, I just want to build on some of the points that the Minister is raising at a strategic level, and then the executive team will respond directly on the operational aspects. For example, honorable members, the concern around the disinvestment is really linked with what the Minister is saying around governance. So we enter into a contract with a station, all right, in Gonjane, and then we agree to give them 2.8 million. We give them the first tranche of about 800,000. And then when you're ready for the second tranche, the monitoring team goes down to go and check whether that 800,000 has been used to what it was agreed upon. And then the monitoring team comes up with a report and says, actually, the board has started fighting, the funding have not been used for what it was meant for, etc., etc. Now, it stalls. Now, it means that we're sitting in our balance sheet with a 1.8 million that we can't disinvest before, because we need to take them through on what is it that needs, what is required. Now, it means we must play a facilitative role of assisting them to go back to the AGM. It means that the community needs to be in unison. There must be a common ground. And it means that then we need to then help them with the tax, et cetera, et cetera. So that's why then you're going to have the issue around disinvestment. So the issue of governance is quite serious, and I think it actually requires that communities need to be quite active in projects, because sometimes, particularly on the broadcasting, once the project has been granted licenses, communities take a step back. So it becomes the board and the management. So they run their own show. So the accountability mechanism are very much weak. And sometimes when they go to an AGM, there's a render person. You know, they just get a few groups of people to come and endorse the AGM, and people, and they proceed. So in essence, so that's what we're really battling with. And I think it's not entirely unique to community projects, because community projects generally have that. And I think it's something that we're learning through, and we'd really like the support as well for committees. I think, as the Minister is saying, that when you go for oversight, please ask these questions. In fact, part of the oversight is that see the project, but you must ask for an engagement with communities. You must actually ask and say, when was the last time have you interacted with the project? Do you know their programming? How do you participate in the programming? Because then in that way, that's how you're holding the station accountable. But otherwise now, we can only, I mean, it entirely depends on the board visits, the oversight, the monitoring team. But in essence, we must really entrench this issue of governance, that they need to understand that these are public resources, and in essence, when we give funding, it's not a turf of few individuals. So it's something that we really want to have a partnership on. I think Minister makes the point around the print issue. I'm not going to even touch on it. And I just want, Honorable Machoba, on the issue of Guguletu and Khayelitsha. Yes, the Minister visited Guguletu, and one of the key issues that came up there is that they wanted a station. So the request for a station is coming at the time where ICASA has imposed moratorium for obvious reasons. One of those is that the spectrum, there's no spectrum available to give a Guguletu, a community radio station. So then the Minister says, MDDA, I want you to run with this project. Find an amicable way to ensure that there's a platform of communication between within Guguletu. So we have one station with the Ivshizes Bonele, which is located in Khayelitsha. So we're facilitating that. But I mean, one of the good things that is coming out of the project is that two communities who, from a class perspective, would not normally actually interact, all of a sudden, actually the radio forum is emerging as one instrument to actually integrate and have a conversation and demystify colonial issues, as well as deal with working class issues of struggles that black women, Africans, are confronted with, youth. And in essence, you're going to sit with one radio station which will have a footprint across African communities, communicating on the discourse of their own development. So in essence, and I mean, we're excited about this, we're learning, and the issue is that we're saying, for once, this project is so integrating and fundamentally, I mean, sitting within our own constitution of unifying communities. I mean,
we're hoping part of it is that we'll be able to build Manenberg with this. But I mean, it's a project that is ongoing, but we're taking one a chunk at the time. So we're doing a bottom-up approach of an active research where people within communities, Khayelitsha, Philippi, Nyanga East, Kukuletu, Delft, where they're going to be able, and Langa, where they're going to be able to actually inform the programming of Usbornel. So this is really one profound project here that actually is going to be as a result of of MDD and with the support of the minister. And then the radio prison is really another one. We've just funded them. Part of it is that it's young people who are located in prison. So we're saying, let's support them so that part of the rehabilitation starts while they're still in prison. So part of it is to really support, we support them with equipment, their actual radio equipment. We'll help them with the capacity building and then as well as content. And content that results into self-empowerment as individual, but also that will lead into community empowerment. It's a pilot. We're doing it here in the Western Cape. And thank you, Honorable Machoba, for your leadership around that. So in essence, one of the key things, and then we'll see how we replicate it outside of Western Cape once we see some of the lessons, and then we go out in other provinces to make sure that we support the other provinces within the prison radio. I think on the issues of a disability, I must really plead perhaps with the committee, it's something that they need to consider. We have two vacancies in the board. I mean, we're meant to be nine in terms of a statutory obligation, but we're seven. We had one member whose term came to an end, who came from a disability community. But now we don't have anyone. I think that's one. But also, too, one of the things that we're doing when we advocate over projects, as soon as we discover that there is no gender representation, there's no disability representation, as a condition, we instruct management that don't proceed with funding this project unless people with disability, women, are actually included in the project, because that's one way into which we're contributing into social transformation, and as well as that the principles that are entrenched in the constitution are actually undertaken. I think I'm going to allow my colleagues then to speak on the specifics around the issues. Oh, let me just comment on the issue of the ex-co-chair, because that one is sitting with the board, which is the appointment of the CEO. That process is really completed now. We're just waiting for the minister to finalize the concurrence and clear, yes, and security clearance. So we're really expecting the candidate to start any time. I think around the CFO, we've done the shortlisting. We're arranging for interviews. So in essence, we'll be able to, I think, from other positions, I think the members was asking that we advertise 16 positions. 9 of those positions have been filled as of to date. So in essence, when we come back and report for quarter 1 and quarter 2, we're going to be able to tell the committee that, in fact, MDD now is in a much more stable environment. So part of the vacancy rate was linked to the fact that the board had thought through a new strategy, but that is within the mandate, and develop a new organogram. So part of the organogram needed to be responsive to the dynamics on the ground. I think the point we're making is that MDDA Act is old, so MDDA Act doesn't capture some of the social dynamics that we're dealing with. So in essence, but at least our strategy must be able to, because we can't say, no, we're waiting for the Act to be changed. We must be able, at least through, because we have the means to be able to be responsive, and part of it is through a responsive strategy regime, and that's what we've done. And then we've then organized the organization in a way that is responsive to that new strategy that ensures that we deliver in our mandate fully. I am going to allow my colleague Louise from the board perhaps to add, and then I get other ex-co members to deal with the operational aspects of the questions.
Sorry, Miles, just a small addition. It's just that because we created a new organogram, which meant a new set of skills, we had to go through a skills audit, a new job profiling, benchmarking of salaries, and all those kinds of things to make sure that the staffing matched what the organization was going to do. So that takes time. It really does take time, and we couldn't advertise until we had completed all that, so that we did not want a haphazard approach towards the recruitment. It was a very carefully worked out approach based on policy development and, as I say, benchmarking of salaries, skills, auditing, and things like that.
Thank you, Chair.
There's a question around why there are no projects with people with disabilities. I must indicate that as MDDA over the past years, we are working in a reactive approach, wherein beneficiaries or the community projects would be forwarding the applications to MDDA, and they will be absorbed within our grant funding cycle. Assessments would be done until the project gets to an approval stage. However, currently we have revised our funding criteria, which is also going to be more proactive. And in that approach, I want to believe that we are going to be able to source more applications which are going to be responding to the space as well. Around the issue of vacancies, responding to Madam Van Dijk, yes, the situation was, honourable member, my apology, Chair. The 16 positions.
There's nothing wrong with that.
The 16 positions, to bring the report into perspective, the period under review ends in March 2016. Currently, there's a change, as I indicated earlier in my presentation. 16% at the time would be 50%, as you say, but currently there's 7 positions filled and others offers are in the process of being issued, and those would include the executive, as the honorable, the board member, the chairperson has indicated, and that changes, and the figure would be then 23 of 32. Before the end of this financial year, we hope to have 100% vacancy filled. Regarding the issue, the question around the use of consultancy, I'm sure we would appreciate the fact that we have been understaffed as MDDA, and there are areas which are of statutory obligations. For an example, the internal audit services were required. We could not go ahead appointing somebody at the managerial level in that position purely because there was a case pending. By virtue of that, it means we could not neglect the responsibilities in enabling the organization to deliver. And I want to believe those are some of the areas in which we use the consultants. For the wasteful expenditure around the NCRF, report will indeed be shared. It's a public information and it's accessible. We can source the copy for you, but I want to believe on their website it's also accessible. Why we fund more than once? We receive our funding on annual basis, and therefore, if we contract or approve a project for funding, that project will be supported to the minimum of 12 to 18 months. But ideally, obviously, to get a project sustainable, you would need to support that kind of a project by 5 years or so. However, based on the budget, minimal budget that we receive as an MDDA, we are unable to. So we would support a project, for an example, if it's a broadcasting station, we can support the equipment on this financial year, but if they come back for strengthening, we also support that. On the other hand, we receive applications of projects, but when we do the assessment, they are not ready instead of, of accessing the full funds. In that approach, we would start by engaging the capacity building, providing them with the necessary skills required for them to be enabled to utilize the funds or to implement their activities. And before we even release the funds, after this the project has been approved, We invite them in an induction or grantee orientation workshop, wherein we are going to be training them in terms of report writing, basic financial management, compliance. And what is interesting around that, those trainings are undertaken by MDDA internal staff. We do not outsource that, or it's not done by any other or service provider. there's a question around what happened with Mr. Mtim there. Is he still a board member? The question is from Madam Honourable Member Fandame. Can I just correct that? To Mr. Mtim, there was never an MTTA board member, but a CEO whom term came to an end, and he's not with the MTTA currently. And then,
sorry, Chairperson, I made a mistake. I meant Mr. Ntenteni, who was a board. Sorry, it was a mistake on my part.
Okay. I will. Okay, Minister will respond to on that one. There's a question around the targets and not being smart. That has came to our attention, and going forward, we have embarked on the process where we are even getting assistance from the auditors to ensure that there's an improvement in that area. And the question around underspending is a result of late reporting. As MDDA, we take the capacity building and the development aspects as very serious, and we do not just by virtue of the fact that the project is delayed submitting the report and then we don't pay them. We engage with the project to identify the need where arises, and if there are gaps in terms of they are unable to provide supporting documents for the expenditure, our officers would go to that particular project and they would sit with them with their records of or portfolio of evidence in terms of expenditure, and they would assist them in reporting. But there are instances, I must say, compliance is important and it's critical for any other organization. There are issues where there's governance challenges within the projects we are supporting, and there are instances where there's no relationship between the community and the station. And there are issues where of non-compliance wherein one station manager would be there for the next 10 years. And when you conduct monitoring and you want verification in terms of community participation, and the station manager would give you a response to say that the community does not want to participate, that gives a responsibility to MTTA to say, why are you existing? Because you are not supporting the mandate of the MTTA. Our mandate is that there's media development and there's diversity. And one of the things that we need to do is that there's community participation. So there's issues, different issues I am attributing to this underspending. But also as an approach to ensure that we are compliant and we are also responsive, but also there's well management of government funds. So I want to comfort the committee to say that it is a decision that we take as the agency after following and exhausting various steps to ensure that we assist our beneficiaries to comply. And we also give them an opportunity to comply where there was non-compliance. And Honourable Member Machoba asked a question about the court case of Julia Mudzikwa. This case dates back to 2012, and it's a case wherein there was a restructuring and the member was affected, and she laid the grievance before the CCMA. And the CCMA decision favored the organization. However, like any other litigation, the applicant was not happy with the verdict and escalated the matter to the labor court. She challenged the agency both on the basis of procedural fairness as well as of substance. And we cannot give a guarantee as MDDA currently to say we will succeed with the matter as any other form of litigation, but the agency is suffering defects by a delay of that matter, and it would mean we might need to spend even more, whether we win or we lose the matter, because we would need to be defended in that matter. I want to believe through the board there are engagements to ensure that what is the cost-effective way to ensure that this case is finalized, because it is not only delaying the agents in terms of making permanent appointments around the space, but also it's just a may result in some wasteful so expenditure. So the board, through the board, I think a decision would be taken to find means on how to finalize this. There's a question from Honorable Member Fanskas Veik. Issues of grant recipients are not compliant. Did you put any measures in place to mitigate this? As yes, we have in our grant funding cycle, we are no longer responding to applicants and disperse funds before we engage with them. Firstly, we ensure that we take them through the grant funding agreement. It is signed on the basis that there's a common understanding between the parties. But over and above that, we invite our grantees, our beneficiaries, in a grantee orientation workshop, which is going to take care of all the basic areas we've identified contribute to this non-compliance. The form of induction would include training them on the basic financial management, on report writing, on just compliance with other statutory obligations, and as part of those workshops, we invite even the SARS as a stakeholder to, because we know most of them are also at challenged by the compliance in terms of tax clearances and the like. So we invite relevant and various stakeholders, and we are also aware that our beneficiaries incur costs in terms of SENTEC obligations and so on. So all, again, as part of providing mitigating factors around that, we invite partners like SENTEC. ICASA is one of our sister organizations, is always invited to ensure that there won't be recurrence around non-compliance with the tax provisions. Remember, we're supporting them because they've met the ICASA licensing conditions. I'm not going to repeat the responses around how we capacitate, because the follow-up question was around how do we uplift the programs, whether the trainings are in-house or not. The grantee orientation workshop is facilitated by MDDA staff only, unless we have invited presentations from our sister organization, and that is done without any cost implications. The question around the HR, how many positions have been filled, I'm going to not to respond to that, because I think it has been asked in different ways. In terms of the revised monitoring and evaluation template, the MDDA has a monitoring and evaluation unit. And as the unit, I'm sure other areas in terms of what you need to incorporate or focus on are developmental, and some come as a result of this sitting, and some maybe from the board members. So during the last board session, it came to our attention that we know that there's a 30% ad spend that should be spent in the sector, but as MDDA, we cannot envisage how much of that goes to our project. So instead of, we then embarked on ensuring that we develop a template which we would include the municipalities in terms of establishing how do you yourself as the municipality contribute to the community media sector, as well as to our beneficiaries, because we needed to get a balanced and informed study. A representative methodology was followed in the process, and we ensured that we engage projects from different provinces and all the sectors that we are supporting, being the print media or the small commercial and broadcasting, are represented. So we are that's what the question I think needed. And then the use of local media by the authorities, I think that remains the gap, and I think it has been articulated from the Honourable Minister's presentation as well as the chairperson of the board, and it's one of the desired outcomes to enable the sector if it has to sustain going forward. Vets Radio Academy, I think as MDDA, we are also committed to ensuring that we support youth programs. If Vets Radio Academy, we identify the learners from different communities, and they are trained through partnership in with the Vets Radio Academy. And out of that, I think as MDDA, we are in the process of engaging the mixed sector, wherein we want to absorb a number of interns in our system, and we keep these our learners in a database, wherein I think going forward we are going to be including them or through advertisement, inviting them to participate. But of course, we are going to be prioritizing the learners in whatever form of partnership we conclude with our stakeholders. We appreciate the feedback from, I'm not sure, we appreciate the feedback around the fact that we need to articulate our vision well, the strategy and must be well articulated, and regarding what do we mean by intervening, I think this purely refers to the capacity building initiatives and training and development activities that we implement as MDDA, and part of the trainings will be the ones through our grant orientation, but also from time to time through a partnership with CEDA. Again, we respond to not just by dispersing funds to the beneficiaries, but also enabling them in terms of acquisition of relevant skills. Marketing and sales, advertising, marketing and sales usually are the key, because in ensuring that they are able to sustain, those become the areas of development. And I'm not going to be responding to the question from Honorable Teddy around the type of support and amount, because already the minister has directed you to the relevant pages in the report. And I'm going to hand over to my colleagues to add if there's any area I might have left out. Yes. The finance. Oh, finance. I'm in the session. Okay, thank you very much. Honorable members, I'm just going to add on Honorable Van Dijk's question around projects that are still in our database, although they are outside our disbursement schedule. Once we find a project, we don't take it out of the disbursement schedule, because we continue to support it in terms of our non-financial support activities, like if there are any available trainings, sharing of information, and so on and so on. So we, all the projects that have been funded, we don't take them out of our database as long as they are still in existence. And whether they print regularly or they don't print regularly, but we keep them on our database. And around the question of advertising with municipalities, about 2 months ago, our M&E team conducted a little bit of a survey. And I think it's also our build-up in terms of actually looking at how we, as we've indicated, that we need support in terms of engaging the municipalities of SALGA. We've conducted our own survey in terms of looking at how much, in terms of our own supported projects, how much are the municipalities currently investing in terms of advertising. And we do have a report on that survey that we conducted. In that survey, we distributed questionnaires to 105 community radio stations and 49 newspapers.
And out of that, we are able to actually come up with something that we can even share with the committee to actually say, in terms of the responses that we got from those 105 community radio stations and 49 newspapers, how much can we say has been invested in the sector by the municipalities in the last financial year. So for us, we look to strengthen that tool in order for us to be able to build a case when we engage with various stakeholders in terms of justifying the need for the municipalities to support the sector. And on the PDMSA, the print media sector funding the MDDA, Honorable Member, I think it's important to note that we have been receiving funding from the Print and Digital Media South Africa, is the MDDA, from 2004 to 2014. So that funding stopped in 2014. So it has been part of the funding that we have been receiving as MDDA, and as a result of that, there is a little bit of that shortfall in terms of the funding the small commercial media sector. I think those are the additions that I wanted to make. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. Good afternoon, honorable members. There was a question raised around the effective steps to mitigate the irregular expenditure. What we can report is from the period April to March 2016, the position of the supply chain officer was vacant for 9 months of the year. The appointment was made in January, and what we have ensured is to continuously train the officer so that the compliance with the Treasury regulations in terms of procurement and submission of all the required documents for payments is done in line with what is expected. Following the audit, done by the Auditor General, there was a need to actually review the human capacity in the Department of Supply Chain, and from that we are in the process of actually also appointing a second supply chain officer to assist, just to ensure that MDDA, there's a universal compliance in terms of the regulations there. It is unfortunate that we did incur irregular, but the objective was to actually make sure that we focus on the achieving the mandate of the agency. We would also like to report that in terms of the question raised around the underspending of the budget. We are responsible to a certain extent. Part of the money that that comes to MDDA is for the use to disbursement of projects. So we do follow the hand-holding approach to projects to say when it has been approved, we take them through initial grantee orientation as highlighted by the previous speakers. In this session, not only do we talk compliance to them, but we also talk the reporting expectations in terms of the finances that they receive. So what you find is on the ground, we have standard agreements of about 12 to 18 months. But the projects sometimes take longer to report on that because of the challenges that they face. Now, in the government arm, someone has to play that role to retain those public funds to ensure that we cannot disperse the funds where we then have to report that some director from a radio station ran away with the funds. We have to be also have that comfort to say that with the funds that the tranche that we are releasing, there is adequate management steps that are being taken at the radio station to ensure that that those funds are utilized for the intended purpose. We are, in the current year, going to report, it will be a very pleasant report that you will receive regarding the disbursement rate. We have increased this, but this is also with the assistance of the project team, because we have not only taken upon the grantee orientation, but now we have increased the on-site monitoring of projects, where the officers actually increase the intervals at which they go to the radio stations to find out what is actually happening, if the project is facing problems. The members will appreciate that currently the agency is in rebuilding its capacity. So most of the things we're actually implementing now, but we do appreciate the support that we're receiving. Thank you.
We'll do it this way, members. We'll give the minister the chance to respond to that question of Dendin. And then after that, because there is food there, after that, before the follow-ups will come after lunch. I think let's do it to relax, so that, because they will be here. Let's get that response, and then after that we grab something and then we come back.
Thank you, Chairperson. Mr. Dendeni never reported to the MDD. I must say that and give you comfort, because immediately after his appointment, then those issues arose. And then instead of me signing off the letter for him to resume, then we didn't process that letter, because already the matter was in the public domain. Hence, we brought back the matter back to Parliament. And then as far as I'm concerned, I think the Portfolio Committee has scheduled a meeting for the 22nd of November, wherein, according to your program, the Parliament Constitutional and Legal Service Unit will present an opinion regarding his removal, because that was an appointee of this parliament. That's where we are. But I can assure you, he never set his foot at the MDDA. I hope that suffices, Honorable Member.
Just to, if there is information, once members are recommended, there is an appointment letter that they are given. Let's check if he did get the appointment letter.
The issue is this: what happens on matter? Remember, you recommended the president to appoint. The letter, then when the president appoints, these letters are sent to me as the executive authority. That's why I never issued the letter, because I normally covering a memo and then send it. That's where it ended. And then this matter, then, I think the past chair of the PCC, then, there was a discussion in the committee to say he must be engaged. So I never issued that letter. It ended.
I'm told the ICT people here want to explain. Where are they? They are at the back there. They want to explain some issues in our gadgets. Can we listen to them?